Hello.
Hello.
This is PCM update for week two in October. Week one, week two? Week two.
Yeah.
Week two of October, 13th of October today, Thursday. You better start off because, did I put me or you? Me first. So
we've got our prompt cards, haven't we?
Yes. I just got back from... That looks like you're on a stand on a stall. Like, would you like to buy?
Well,
our
we've
products?
Obviously been to too many exhibition kind of
we
things,
have,
isn't
last
it? You know,
it's been a bit.
I've been seeing a lot
sandwiches.
Yeah.
So South by Southwest Eco, I went to Austin, Texas for a week. Seemed like a month. Got stuck in traffic in terms of weather conditions, so I didn't get back. I had to sleep in hotels. It was all a bit messy, but. Came away with about 30 really solid connections from sustainability departments and a different South By altogether, really.
Yeah, because same name, same company running it?
Same company that runs it, so they've got all the infrastructure. They constantly iterate it every year. I mean, they're a high-capacity conference company in terms of, you know, South By is about the conference centre and Hilton and organising the hotels, and they have Cisco as one of their main sort of partners. Mm. It's a very high capacity organised event, and the Eco Conference came out of nowhere. It actually surprised a lot of my friends who live in Austin because they'd never heard of it. And after talking with the team and sitting down with Scott Wilcox, who's the Chief Technical Officer of SXSW, he said that the reason why we didn't go out to more groups of people is that we had about 800 to 1,000 people at this one. And really, you know, they need to... If you fuse South by Southwest Eco with a normal event, it loses its focus.
It was an influencers event, wasn't it? There was a lot of people there, and I think you experienced this yourself, that to go out and amplify an event, you kind of need to know a lot about the stuff already.
Yes.
So you kind of, talking, you know, rhetorical, you listen, you process, and you tweet it.
Yeah.
But I think there seemed to be a lot of people there who were experts in their field... Mm. That really wanted to listen to what other experts in their field were saying.
Yeah.
The mechanism to directly tweet, either, you know, for you, you wanted to be in the moment and listen.
Yeah.
Or other people haven't yet taken that social media step.
Yeah, the difference with it being a tech thing is that, you know, South by Southwest is about people who are already super hyper-connected.
Mm.
So they go there to sort of drink and catch up and hang out, really.
Is that an evolution? I mean, if you had gone to South by the very first year...
Yeah.
Were you there the first one?
I was not the first one, no.
I would imagine that first time that everyone had come together, there was a sense, I want to listen to what everybody's got to say.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's been going for 8 years now?
I think it's been going a lot longer than that.
So
I think South by itself...
gathers momentum, doesn't it?
I think South by itself has been going for 15 years, but I think Interactive...
As a music event.
Yeah, I think South by Interactive has been going for about eight years, maybe. But it was very good, made some great contacts. Looking forward to talking with Scott Wilcox again. Did a little interview that I need to pull off my video camera with the audio. We're going to try and stream in live from the Arc into South by Southwest March 2012, which would be awesome.
iPad Mark 2, haven't you?
Yeah, I nearly didn't have iPad Mark 2. I had it for a week. The last night at Mohawk closing party, it fell out of the bag.
It's the worst tweet you see coming down saying, smash my iPad.
Loads of people were like, are you kidding? And I took a photo of it. It was bad. Luckily, Apple saved my life. I literally jumped on a bus, which, by the way, I have to throw this out there. Nottingham City Council, you need to open up your data for your bus timetable and your prices. You've got all the equipment to let people know it's 5 minutes away, 2 minutes away. Google Maps, brilliant for tourists who come into a space. I brought Google Maps, said Apple Store, it says there's one over in 30 minutes. There's one over here 30 minutes away. You need zoomed in on the bus stop, press the bus stop, told me the number of the bus and told me that there was one 13 minutes away. I mean, like, I was nowhere near it. I was at a hotel. I had to walk to the bus stop.
A few taps.
Brilliant.
You can do that with the directions thing, but it's not quite as instantaneous.
The thing is, it had a little bar along the bottom where it told you the price.
It doesn't tell you the price. It just tells you
the price.
What bus stop it goes from and what
but
the time
it,
is.
I think, yeah, the time thing, though, the time thing changes because... Mm. As you'll go, I took a snapshot of it.
But what people need to do is, who have all this data, is look out for hack days. They go, you know, non-for-profit hack days, that the Guardian newspaper have a hack day.
Can't see that.
And essentially you bring hackers and coders together, provide them with lots of database data that they can access.
Yeah.
And then they just come up with these amazing apps. The Edinburgh Fringe app was made at a Culture Hack Day.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. They've taken data from all around the city that was completely unconnected and plugged it into an interface. Visual thing.
Yeah.
And the stuff they come up with is brilliant.
I mean, normally you jump in a cab or something. I mean, it's quite far away. I mean, this is where I was. This is where I was. You can't really see.
We'll get the green screen disappears when I do that.
It just tells you, like, you know, $2, you jump on a bus, and I was following the track as I was going up there with the broken screen, of course.
All right, because it's in the UK, it just tells you what the bus number is rather than when it leaves. So you get the leave thing,
it tells you how much it is, it's going to be 52 minutes.
Yeah, so you don't get the prices.
Brilliant, just really brilliant. It's really good that you have that extra level, that extra bit of detail giving you the confidence to give it a go.
Yeah. So. There's some really good stuff. I mean, this was another one from South By before we move on.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this.
So, Philippe Cousteau is the son of Jacques Cousteau. Jacques Cousteau was the guy who came up with the aqualung, and the famous documentary series of course him diving under the sea and on reefs, and all of that stuff. And so Philippe Cousteau is the grandson of Jacques Cousteau, is a correspondent for Discovery Education and the Animal Planet and Planet Green Channels, founder and CEO of Earth Echo International, and he's got this really cool little book, and he was out there to sort of promote that, but also talk about the environment. And he was very, 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 very extremely passionate about it.
Cool.
And it's just good to use his voice and his lineage, if you like, to talk about green issues. So me and Ella are going to be using this as a sort of like nighttime book. I know that's not really nursery-wise, but
no, you
know,
it's
same ballpark, isn't it, really?
It is.
What else?
This is next.
Oh, okay, you're doing that first. This is next. This is next.
We've got show and tells today, haven't we? We kind of...
I feel like we should show the sandwiches off.
It really doesn't seem like Tuesday that you want back into my office asking for keys.
Yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, I should put this in as well. Notice of baggage inspection from TSA in America.
Oh, what did they say?
That was inside my box when I picked it up.
Oh, right, so
they've been through it.
So
to protect you and your fellow passengers, we've been through your bag, basically. if it's not my laptop, it's my bag. So masterclasses.
Yeah, as I say, I'm not going to mention too much about them, but because it will be throughout October, really. Masterclasses looking at online identity, QR codes, geolocation, and crowdsourcing.
Okay.
There's a lot of courses at the moment that are, you know, Twitter and Facebook. And although those platforms are important, there's other social technologies that really excite me.
Okay.
And I've spoken to people about, you know, well, do you want a whole day for a course, or do you want to come to a one-off workshop, or do you just want to do master media camps?
Yeah.
And people said, you know, well, we just, you know, breakfast networking is great, sort of 2 hours. But some people go, well, you know, I can't do every morning. So the masterclasses have been set up.
Yeah.
So 4 of them run over a day.
Okay.
And 2 hours. So you can come in a day and do them all.
Right.
Or they rotate across the same day over a month. So there's only 4 classes. But, so it's kind of a bit of a test bed, really, for the mechanism. And I'm hoping to get a lot of social media practitioners that I work with who are also doing this kind of cutting-edge stuff, good self.
Yeah.
And so people can come and say, I've got 4 masterclasses.
Yeah.
And they'll fit into the schedule and it will kind of be part of a social media conversation. Okay. That, you know, once a day.
Sounds good. So, I like colour coding. It's good.
Yeah, so these are the ones. So they start on the 7th of November.
Okay.
And so it's pcmcreative.co.uk/workshops.
There you go. Check it out. Get booked up.
Yeah.
£30 a session, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, £75 a session.
Oh, sorry. That's my sessions. I'm a cheapskate. I had to do mine cheaper. I haven't started mine.
But interestingly, people think that they know clients that would benefit from this, and it is targeted at senior level decision makers.
Okay.
I mean, anybody can come, but it is intended for people who are really going to be making strategy decisions
for their companies.
Gotcha. So if you think there's a group of people that would be interested, I do have an affiliate program running.
Okay.
Where I split the ticket price 60-40.
Okay.
So
affiliate programs.
Yeah, I know. But I will share. It's only £5, but you know, I'd really like people to be able to say.
No, I haven't got a problem with it.
I'd like my clients to come. And
I haven't got a problem with it. I'm sure it's fine. Affiliate.
So they
the
can either take the knock of the price, or they can, you know, so they could effectively subsidise their own clients if they wanted.
Okay, I sort of switched off there at the end.
Okay. Let's move back to you then, Phil.
Yeah, it's always about me. It's always about me. Well done. You're doing even the Phil bits as well. So, art progress and catch up about the car. I wanted an IQ at the beginning of this. Not literally. I know my IQ is quite low, but I wanted to get a small smart car. Not a smart car, but a Toyota IQ, because I've driven one before. It's really cool, actually. And I've been trying to find one for a year, lease or rental, and I've had some quotes and whatever. And then Nick Max, our benefactor here at Fibercamp, at CHG Land on Twitter, turns around and says, if you get a camper van, I know, if you get a camper van, you can park it round the back. And, you know, if you're here late, then you've got the thing to keep kipping. And you can connect it up to the water and whatever else. And what he's basically saying is he wants a security guard in the car park. But I actually feel now that the VW camper is a great idea, because if we do have any problems at the Ark, you know, there's nowhere to go. We don't want to be in a car overnight or, you know, trapped in this little two-seater car. Whereas if we had a camper van backup, that would be awesome. But the problem is they're about 10 grand. And I haven't really got anything like that. I'm very rare to have 10 quid. So it's got me all thinking again about transport, but I definitely need to get something sorted in the next 2 months before the end of the year, because the Ark starts January.
In our head, we're seeing building going on in January, aren't we?
Yeah, well, no, it has to start. Yeah.
That's the push.
Every week I want to be going over there and Chris and Mike and saying what's going on. And then Christina keeps on sending me emails saying, like, keep me in the loop. Deadly 60 is soon. When's Deadly 60? It's like, I don't know when that is. I'll have a look. Might be when I'm away. I don't know. It's Saturday or Sunday, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Deadly 60 at Conkers, that's going to have a fair turnout. We'll do pull-up banners for that. It's crazy. So it's ultra busy. Trying to sort out the IQ car. Definitely know that we've got the funding now. It got pushed back 6 months, really, from, like, it was supposed to start June, July. And I was told that it was a check on a desk and they need to sign it off. And I was like, yeah, but when is it? And then it turns out that one has sort of fell through and it went to another one. So at least it went to another one.
So
at least they're
investing. January build,
yes.
Maybe moving in November. Did you talk to someone at South By?
November,
about something
February,
that might
you mean?
Be happening. February.
Yeah, no, I said earlier on about the South By thing is that ideally I want to be in by the end of February. And then the first week of March, I'm literally moving in and getting used to it. But then also South By starts on the 4th. So it could be like, hey, I'm fresh in the bill, you know. And so it could be quite nice that...
So you're not going to South By, but streaming to South By.
Yes, streaming to South By. So as you walk down the corridors in South By, you'll be like, what's that?
Who's that?
And it's this guy in a box.
And you'll be able to wave back.
Yeah, on one of the screens, we're thinking that it'll have, you know, a big screen with a camera. And you can sort of like feedback and whatever. Maybe a little Twitter wall on the bottom. It'd be awesome. So we'll see.
So some good stuff that we can connect to.
Yes. CJ, on the ground stuff.
We have our lecture and tell.
Yes.
So where have we been today, Phil?
Oh, well, you should tell us because it's your section.
It's my section.
I'll hold the book for you.
You can be my lovely assistant. We've been to Nottingham Trent University today.
Yes.
To Sass Brown Eco Fashion Lecture, which was hosted by Future Factory.
Yes.
And I wasn't quite sure what Future Factory was when you started to get involved, because they've approached you about Nomad jackets.
Well, the other way around, I approached them. Yeah.
So I had this idea that, you know, there was a fashion element to it. I hadn't quite realised that they really do try and support businesses trying to develop and promote their work and become more sustainable and more ecological with it, which
Absolutely.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great research department, and they use practical projects to give students the opportunity to work on real-life projects.
Yeah.
So you're not just doing theoretical work on your degree, you're actually working with businesses and creating input into their project. Because the great thing about young people is that they have no preconceptions about what's not possible.
Right.
And that's what I love about the energy and fire that you get with creative young people.
Yeah.
And so this is really using those. So Sass Brown, who... Tell us a little bit about Sass.
So Sass Brown is she's a professor at the University of New York Technology college, university thing. I can't remember the order of it. You'll have to do it in my interview. And she's been flying around the world in her earlier days, and now she's based in Florence, I think she said, or somewhere in Italy. And so basically what she is, she's a designer who sort of segued into being, you know, looked at sustainability clothing. And then what she's done, she's got to a point where she's been looking at designers who are sustainable, and basically they're at this tipping point now where the best of the best who are doing great stuff in sustainability clothing are now there. Yeah. They're out there and they're doing this stuff.
Yeah.
So she wrote this to sort of document like about those people and what they're doing. You know, these people all around the globe.
I think the great distinction with these is that they are fashion designers who are hugely talented that have added eco and sustainability to their practice.
Yeah.
Where there tends to be a lot of people starting off who want to be sustainable, they want to do fashion, and they kind of mix it all in and then they end up having nothing at all.
Yeah.
Whereas these are really talented, cutting edge of their industry who are championing eco and seeing it work within their
There was some products. Really interesting bits. I mean, there was the bit today about sheep, you know, that woman who went and ended up setting up her own organic farm. And, you know, she uses the wool from an endangered species. We have endangered sheep. You know, certain... so I think she said, began with W, something like Wensleydale sheep, maybe. Not cheese, but obviously. Wensleydale
we're
sheep.
I believe
they
are.
And, you know, they were saying that normally when farmers shear it off, they just burn it and they waste it. Whereas they just, you know, they use it to stitch stuff. It was like, make clothes, to say. But... it was interesting. I never really thought about it before. You know, it's these things that you just assume it's being used.
We do.
You don't even think it goes to waste.
We talk about recycling and reuse, but there's, you know, natural products that are, as I say, going to waste.
Yeah. Okay. So that was good. I really enjoyed today. It's the on-ground stuff, and we did that with Ian Dim and Media, at Ian Dim Media on Twitter. And he did the video stuff. I did a bit of tweeting. We set up the hardware together. And CJ did a lot of the back room stuff and also the scheduling and organising and stuff. It went really well.
It did.
It went really well.
So we kind of slide from one into another, usefully now. One of the things that came up in the questions today was about fashion students and models themselves.
Yeah.
And that was a concern for them. And I'm currently working with Equity on an education programme to see what sort of coverage the trade union Equity gets in education, because Equity actually represent models as well.
Okay.
And there's a lot of fashion courses who probably don't realise that there's a lot that Equity can actually do for fashion students. Okay. But, I mean, we're doing the research because we've found that actors and stage managers and designers and project managers, they leave university without any sense of how to run a business.
Yeah.
Because they do their shows and they learn their craft, but what they don't learn is how to, you know, what minimum wage is and how to not be exploited and what a proper structured contract looks like.
Mm.
If you choose not to use a contract and you do profit share, as the irony is, then that's up to you. But I think the grounding needs to come, and we've kind of realised that there isn't the foundation within the education system, because for a long time, the education system for drama was through accredited colleges.
Okay.
So the National Conference of Drama Training, and now with arts funding, you know, so Nottingham Trent University are an accredited college, whereas a lot of degree courses that are done all over the country aren't accredited, so they don't automatically get their Equity affiliation. So, yeah, we've got a survey that we've put together.
Oh, right.
It's not been launched online just yet, because there's a little bit of, can it be published, can it not be published? We want to send it ideally to members already, but with data protection and opt-in clauses, it's very hard for us as non-paid members of the organisation to contact other non-paid members of the organisation.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we're going to try and use our Twitter and our Facebook and our networks and our social media to just talk about it on our blogs.
Okay.
So hopefully soon I'll be able to publish the survey and see if anyone who's art-based training or drama has got any opinions about what they learnt about the industry when they were actually training.
Okay, cool. And that segues on to unemployment rates of Fabian space. I need to throw this out there, because the other day we were sitting in Subway before heading round to do our recce for today's On The Ground event. And a scary statistic hit me in the face from looking at a magazine. 25% of 16 to 24 year olds are unemployed. 25%. And that's a scary statistic for me. And it worries me that we don't, it's going to spiral out of control because we don't have the money in the system, the support services are not there. So I'm really interested, maybe in December time when we sort of wind down a little bit, or try to, probably everybody will load loads of stuff on us now for Christmas just because I said that. But I'd like to get more of that age group together in a brainstorming thing and find out what people want to work on, what they want to do, what their skills are, and try and invest a bit of time into helping them build their social presence on the web. Because I think people who've got time to spend at home near a computer, watching the television or whatever, they could be building their digital CV.
I think journeys are important as well, not just where you've come from, but being able to hear other people's stories of where they've come from. So I'm speaking to Frankie today at the Future Factory, and although she's going to be looking for work, so she's not unemployed, but she's probably in that category. It's really, there's a fear, there's a palpable fear of where your next job comes from. And I know from within the creative industries, it's always been the case that there's been more people than there has jobs available. And when it becomes into that mechanism, you really start have to think about where it is you want to work. And I think there isn't enough emphasis about working with your influencers and really using your Twitter and your LinkedIn networks to, you know, start conversations with those key people that, you know, if you could do your ideal job, who would it be?
Yeah.
And like never ever before, the potential to be able to reach those key people and say, you know, if you have a job, I'd love to be working with you.
Well, 1 minute ago, using iOS 5 notification, Future Factory NTU, a huge thanks goes out to PCM Creative and Phil Campbell, Ian Dearman. Great job today. I would recommend them to anyone. You know, it's nice having things. I love iOS 5, the fact that you can just jump
in
there.
We're going to do that next week.
Yeah, only because you haven't installed it. Jealous. CJ, training and educating drama schools about business. You've just done that already.
Okay. I jumped the queue, didn't I?
Okay, you did, because, you know, it's all about queue jumping, isn't it? You are on the higher platform.
Thing.
Don't start coughing now.
I kind of...
She's got an incredibly annoying cough, I must say. Mobile broadcasting truck.
This is very exciting.
Yes, it's like this adds that extra level. We've got Ian, who's sort of come on board.
Yeah.
And we're, well, we use him as a third party.
Great cameraman.
Great footage. He's got so much audio stuff, it's unbelievable that you didn't realise what he'd got, really. So anyway,
case full of Sennheiser.
Yeah, it's crazy. I met a guy, Ken. I think he sent me a message from my About Me.page. He had trouble trying to actually email me, and we sat down, first time we'd ever met, yesterday in Hungry Pumpkin, and we had a chat about various things. He said, oh, I'm trying to keep up with everything you do and blah blah. I hear that all the time. And he says, we have a mobile satellite broadcast truck, and they've been doing this in Nottingham for like 15 years. So we're like, well, what we do have problems from time to time when we do big events in London, and they want to charge us an exorbitant amount for a wired 1 meg internet into a socket. And with the, with these guys, they can literally, we can either hire them for a day or half a day. And if we want a connection for 2 hours, we can get it for 2 hours.
I think that's really key, because when we go to big exhibitions, they have a huge, you know, mechanism behind them that organises them. And because we aren't entrenched within the company, they might say at the last minute, we want you to come along.
Yeah.
Going through that process of getting internet connection, getting a power socket, it all has to be built into their stands, and often we're too late.
Yeah.
Or when we get there, we find that the cable is locked underneath some piece of scenery that we can't get to. So with power gorillas and our own power supplies and somewhere to go out and is just, it really does unlock
it's
us.
Nice. It's nice. It's nice. I mean, I've been talking to Ken about maybe doing something in where the art location is, just to see what a satellite uplink looks like, just so we can say we're here live now. This is what a stream would look like. Just so that the guys, Chris and Mike, can see the potential out and go, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've really got the connected to the live stream element to it yet, which is huge. You know, people sit and watch small Labradors on Ustream in a bin all day, so they can definitely watch me pottering around an ark. Next thing, so catch-up space changes. What was that about? Fibre Camp catch-up space changes.
Just what are we doing with well, that it's account? Just, where are we at?
Well,
we're kind of, so we've been busy going out and about doing on the ground stuff.
Yeah.
That
well, the studio's had a bit of a tweak here and there. I mean, I've done some bits of wiring and made it a little bit more, you know, accessible. I've not been here enough to be using it, but
in we've locked it round to this orientation, haven't we, as well at the moment, because we're trying to push ourselves to find
resources
so that we can improve our equipment. So, you know, so we've got a camera that faces the other way onto the sofa, because
also we can have multiple shots.
It's really nice for us to be over there.
Ultimately, I'd like to have another camera over there and a macro shot over there, so we can show you stuff on the iPad and things like that. But that costs money, and it costs a lot of money. It costs probably $3,000 or $4,000 to have two decent cameras and clamps and all sorts. And to be fair, we haven't got it. So
it's not about the equipment, it's about making media.
It's about making media, but it's also sort of explaining the process of how Fibrecamp grows. I think the next big thing I'm going to really encounter is Rattler, is we're going to push that, because that's an accessible thing. Because if we'd had Rattler today, we could have done a lot more after the event and before the event to say, this is what it looks like, this is where it's going.
I think the nice thing about Rattler as well, that I don't think people have quite seen the potential of, is real-time statistics analysis that can be fed into different packages and shown on screens.
Yeah.
So you can see, you know,
what the impact is of doing it. There and then. I mean, proof of that today with the food, you know, what is the impact of chucking all that in a bin?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get onto that today.
No.
PC, Light Mines in Exeter. So this is quite interesting and cool and just come out of nowhere. As
very jealous.
Last week, CJ's having a bit of a baby about it, because she's like, I want to go. So I might be going to Light Mines. I don't know yet. There is a ticket availabilities there, but the hotels, expense, trains. So we don't know. I'd like to go. We don't know. We'll see.
I suppose there's the reason I'm not going.
Yes.
I suppose,
you can chuck that in there.
Is I'm going to be at Audiences Europe.
Okay.
Manchester. No, it's not Manchester.
Europe.
The venue is the MAC, the MAC. So I keep thinking it's Manchester for some reason.
Mac.
But it's not. It's Birmingham at the MAC. And it's the UK leg of the Audiences Europe conferences.
Okay.
We've got speakers from the audience engagement officers from the Royal Shakespeare and the BBC.
Wow.
Really great lineup.
Top level.
So I'm really looking forward to
it. How much is that?
It's £95 a ticket.
It's not bad, is it?
And there are still a few left.
That's not bad.
But I'm also, I've got two or three bloggers tickets.
Ooh.
So if anybody's interested in audience development and community building, and would be interested to see what's going on in the cultural sector, I do have a few bloggers passes.
Then probably Phil Randall, because you're our biggest supporter, probably from North 51, should send somebody from North 51 to that. So, Phil, get in touch. And if you want a blogger's ticket for anybody in your, you know, head of mobile, give it to Alex or whatever.
But that's going to be very lean on the ground. So, I'm going to be live streaming from the iPhone 4.
Okay.
And then sort of media channels using Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and audio booze.
Okay.
So,
cool. Yeah. Let's wrap this up then quickly.
Okay.
We'll save those other two ones because they can go on.
Go on.
So, final closing really, spaces for October, November and media. So, October and November for me and CJ, there's a lot of work stacked up. The calendar's looking, starting to get really, really busy. We want to sort of wind down in December and get back on track with our post-production and the schedules for Fibrecamp, so that when we get to January and the arc is being built, I'm going to be in a sort of holding pattern in terms of Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. So I'll literally come to the studio, work my ass off in terms of content making, and then go and do the art project.
So we're starting transition, aren't we?
Yeah.
And so I've got the Monday masterclasses throughout November.
Yeah.
Wednesday and Friday tend to be my blogging and media days.
Yeah.
And so I've got Lucy Lockett work I'm doing. I've got some other clients.
Very busy.
So Tuesday and Thursday tend to be
the free ones.
Sort of client days.
Cool.
So there's still leadership and management funding available as well.
Okay, and so that's match funding thing, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, anybody who wants to invite us to their Christmas parties, get it now, because we get super, super busy, and December for me is all about Christmas parties.
And we can audio boo for you.
Yeah, we'll come and document it and catch up with your staff, see how your year went. Just don't give me red wine near a piano. I tend to throw it all over the carpet, as Nick probably doesn't know about, but now I've told him. That's it for this week. We'll catch up with you next week. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.